Our lesson today is out of Psalm 35, 1-28, God's help when experiencing cruel rejection by formerly close associates. As human beings, we need some close associates, so experiencing a cruel rejection by them is very traumatic. David faced this trial and revealed how he obtained God's help in dealing with it in Psalm 35, verses 1-28. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into his word. Father, thank you for the privilege that you give us to meet together and the fellowship around the Word of God. We thank you for the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, who is our paraclete, the one who runs alongside and helps us. He also teaches us the truth, and then he turns around and equips us to live it. We ask for wisdom, strength today to understand the text and use it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read it in the King James Version, and then we'll look at it from the Hebrew text. Psalm 35. This is a psalm of David. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for my help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that divide my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he has hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him? False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I did not know. They rewarded me evil for good in the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer returned unto mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though I had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavenly as one that mourned for his mother. But in my adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear at me and ceased not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha, aha, our eye has seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord, keep not silence, O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice in my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Okay, that's in the King James English. We'll look at it from the Hebrew text. The title, A Psalm of David, that appears before the first verse in the English Bible are actually part of verse 1 in the Hebrew text, that phrase is. But we're going to stay with the numbering system, of course, of the English Bible. So we translate Psalm 35, 1-28, and as you see, I've run the verses together, one right after the other, because there's so many verses in this psalm, I didn't have room to separate them. So we're going to read it just like a text. Contend, O Yahweh, with those who contend against me. Do battle with those who battle against me. Verse 2, take up a personal handheld shield. This is the Hebrew word magen. There are two shields. There's a kind that the soldier holds on his own arm. Then there's the other shield that an armor bearer bears in front of a man when he wants to fight from a bit more of a distance and when he's in more of a siege warfare. But when he gets into a personal hand combat, this is the handheld shield. So this is the personal one. Take up a personal handheld shield, again, and buckler. Arise and come to my aid. Verse 3, brandish spear and javelin against those who pursue me. Say to my life principle, I myself am your salvation. Verse 4, may those who seek my life principle be ashamed and humiliated. May those be turned backwards and be put to shame who plot my ruin. May they be as the chaff before the wind with the angel of Yahweh driving them away. May their path be dark and slippery with the angel of Yahweh pursuing them. And verse 7, since they hid their feet for me without cause and without cause dug a pit for me. Verse 8, may ruin overtake them by surprise. May the net they hid entangle them. May they fall into the pit to their ruin. Verse 9, then my life principle will rejoice in Yahweh and delight in his salvation. Verse 10, my whole being will exclaim, who is like you, O Yahweh? You rescue the afflicted from those who are too strong for them, the afflicted and needy from those who tear away plunder from them. Verse 11, ruthless witnesses come forward. They question me on things of which I know nothing. Verse 12, they repay me evil for good and leave my soul bereaved. Verse 13, but I, that's emphatic in front of the verb, but I, when they were ill, I put on sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayers returned to my bosom. Verse 14, I went about mourning as though for my friend and brother. I bowed my head in grief as though weeping for my mother. Verse 15, but when I stumbled, they gathered in glee. Attackers gathered against me when I was unaware. They maligned me and did not cease. Verse 16, like the ungodly, they maliciously mocked. They gnashed me, their teeth at me. Verse 17, O Adonai, that's the term for O my master, how long will you look on? Rescue my life principle from the ravages, my precious life from these lions. And verse 18, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. Among the throngs I will praise you. Verse 19, let not those gloat over me who are my enemies without cause. Let not those who hate me without reason maliciously wink the eye. And that would be a secret signal between co-conspirators. That was a cultural practice in those times. Verse 20, because they do not speak peaceably but devise false accusations against those who live quietly on the earth. Verse 21, they gape at me and say, aha, aha, with our own eyes we have seen it. Verse 22, O Yahweh, you have seen this. Do not be silent. Do not be far from me, Adonai, or my master. Verse 23, awake and rise to my defense. My Elohim, that's my God, and my Adonai, my master, contend for me. Verse 24, vindicate me in your righteousness, O Yahweh, my Elohim. Oh, that would be, O Lord, my God. Do not let them gloat over me. Verse 25, do not let them say in their hearts, aha, just what we wanted. Do not let them say in their hearts, we have swallowed them up. Verse 26, may all who gloat over my distress be put to shame and confusion. May all who exalt themselves over me be clothed with shame and disgrace. Verse 27, may those who delight in my vindication shout for joy and gladness. May they always say, may Yahweh be exalted, who delights in the well-being of his servant. And verse 28, my tongue will speak of your righteousness and of your praises all day long. Okay, there are some key observations about this psalm that help us to understand its application for today. You'll notice that this psalm is very intense. David is pouring himself out to the Lord. His feelings are very strong. And there are a large number of petitions that David voices in the psalm. Many times he says, you know, do a number on them. Look what they've done to me, Lord. Do this. Please do that. So it reveals that he was venting. He was venting his shock and his hurt over being unjustly rejected and mistreated by formerly close associates. You notice these were people that David had prayed for, David had wept for, and so forth, and then they're turning on him, they're mistreating him. So we also should pour out our hearts to the Lord upon experiencing similar traumatic hurt in similar cases. It's very interesting. I talked to a believer one time, And he said, Pastor, I don't want to wear the Lord out, so when I have a lot of needs, all I do is pray for the most pressing need that day, and then I wait until the next day to pray for the other one. I said, no, you don't have to wait that long. You can pour out all of your needs right now. In fact, you can keep pouring them out over and over and over and over. The Lord understands that. God is very aware of human pain. He's very aware of hurt. And when people are in pain, people are hurt, especially in regards to relationships, there's a tendency when they pray to keep praying it over and over and over and over because you have to vent. And God understands. In fact, the Bible says God is nigh unto them that are of a crushed spirit. So if there's something that is really bothering us or is creating anxiety in us, what we need to do is to pour it out to the Lord. So when we experience traumatic hurt, in traumatic situations like this, we should go ahead and pour our hearts out to the Lord. So, God hears us the first time, but most of the time, this type of prayer is not for God's sake, it's for our sake, because we're the ones that are in need of really trusting the Lord. And then secondly, David viewed the Lord as his close associate to fill the vacuum of losing associates. If you go back to verse 2, you'll notice that he says, take a personal handheld shield. That's the shield that's going to keep the enemy from taking the dagger and sticking it into his heart. And so God is his personal shield, and that's what he's looking for, personal, very close and intimate friend. Verse 22b, you'll notice, do not be far from me, Adonai. His friends have turned against him and have distanced themselves, but David doesn't want his master to be far from him. And then verses 23 and 24, David says, awake, arise to my defense, my Elohim and my Adonai, or my God and my master. Contend for me. Vindicate me in your righteousness, O Yahweh my God, or O Lord my God. Do not let them gloat over me. So David was obviously making the Lord his close associate. So we must seek God's fellowship in such cases. I personally believe that there are sometimes the Lord allows difficulties to arise in relationships and allows relationships that we at one time had thought were solid, but really weren't that solid, to turn on us. Because what it does, it drives us to the Lord, because we have no other place to go in times like that. And of course, even though it's at our expense, our pain and everything, God loves the fellowship that we have with him. He does want us to seek fellowship with him at all times. But we do need to seek the fellowship of God in these cases. Many years ago, we had a situation in our church where a man ran off with another woman outside of the church and left his wife and family. It's very traumatic. And the woman, the wife who had been left, one time she talked to me, we were in the fellowship hall at the time, she said, Pastor, when I'm relying on the Lord, I'm perfectly fine. But if I'm not relying on the Lord, I'm an absolute basket case. And she said, would you please tell other people this? If they ever face this type of a thing, you need to rely on the Lord and stay reliant on the Lord, because the Lord will provide for you. But if you don't, it'll be very, very painful. So the lesson is, David handled his loss of close associates who unjustly turned on him by pouring his heart out to God, very important, asking for his help and justice, and two, in viewing God as his close associate to fill the void of lost close associates. So for God's blessing, may we follow David's example if we face similar difficult trials. I didn't have that much room to make application since we were putting the content of the entire psalm. And in this series and the psalms, what I'm seeking to do, instead of just give the lesson itself, I want to give the content of the scripture itself so you can read it and make application from it therewith. But that's essentially what David is doing. He's pouring his heart out unto the Lord. There have been times when, as a pastor, I've been involved in counseling situations where people will come in, and I've noticed sometimes when they're real close to a situation where there's a loss of a close associate or a friendship and so forth, they're hurting so badly, they're not prepared actually to listen to anything I say. All they want is to vent. And so I've learned sometimes to let them vent. Sometimes I have to do it for a couple of sessions. They have to keep venting. I just have to sit there and listen and pray and wait. But eventually they get to the point, okay, they say, okay, now what do I do? When they finally get to that point, then you can help. And you can begin to help. You have to, at that point, still be very, very careful. But there's a tremendous part of letting people vent. When I was a chaplain at Baylor University Medical Center, I was an assistant chaplain. Baylor Medical Center was just a couple blocks from Dallas Seminary, so while I was a student there, I was a chaplain there 1 year. And occasionally, we did deal with deaths. People would die, and then they would have to ventilate. I'll never forget the case where a husband had lost his wife, and it was, I think, the day before their 50th wedding anniversary. Very traumatic. The whole family was there. And I went in, and I had no idea how in the world I was possibly going to encourage this man. And the head chaplain had told us that when you run into a situation that is very intense, spend most of your time listening. Don't talk, just listen. So I did. I went in there and listened. And the man was venting, and he was just really grieving at the fact. He says, "This is, you know, tomorrow was going to be our 15th wedding anniversary, and yada yada." The whole family was there. The kids felt terrible. Everybody was there. And finally, at the end of that, I said, "Sir, you've got a lot for which to be thankful, because very few people get to have stayed in the same marriage for as long as you did. It was almost 50 years, but that's a wonderful time." So I tried to get him to think on the glass half full. In other words, look at all the years you had together. It might not have been quite 50, but it was 49 and 9/10 or whatever. It was there, and think about that. And that encouraged him. And his children and their spouses were very grateful. And one of them stopped by and said, "Thank you for helping Dad a lot." And all they did was just, you know, mention that to him. But I realized that man needed to ventilate. He didn't need anybody telling him anything. There's a proverb that says, only the heart knows its own pain. Nobody else really does. And you just have to listen and bear it. However, after a session like that, I remember I would be absolutely fatigued. I have to go back to the chaplain's office and just, you know, park away from people and unwind, because that was 45 minutes of great intensity. And so it takes a toll on you if you're involved in counseling and ministry that way. But that's sometimes what people need. People need to vent. And that's what this psalm teaches, vent. If you're really hurting somewhere, especially because of losing a close associate, or there's a cruel rejection or an unfair rejection, that's where you need to vent. And God expects it, and so you just pour it out. Pour it out to the Lord in prayer. Keep pouring it out, and the Lord will hear. So, for God's blessing, may we follow David's example if we face similar difficult trials, and follow the Lord's leading. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on this psalm. It does not have to be, for sure. If there's something else that has come up, or if you want to discuss something else, I'm more than welcome to be open to that, and we'll seek to answer.